This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Hopefully everybody's day is off to a decent start. At least a better start than Kyrie Irving's day is off to, because goodness gracious, it's bad in Dallas. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It is. It's a rough go of it out there in Dallas, man. As far as, you know, we talk about the Mavericks, obviously the big trade and everything like that. Anthony Davis goes down after playing
his
best game, best three quarters I've seen in a long time.
Right.
Obviously, they're patching things together. They were banged up. And then saw it last night. Kyrie Irving goes down, goes back and shoots the free throw, and is just reported by Shams that he has a season-ending torn ACL.
Torn ACL.
So, yeah, it's rough out there in Dallas, man.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, man.
Yeah.
Nico.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but you think, I mean, what did you say just a second ago?
And, I mean, it's over now.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen is just a recurring thing.
That's it.
I mean, it's a mess down there, and I think
he'll be blamed for this, even though it's not
yeah,
his
it's
fault.
Not his fault.
Traded Luka, like, yeah. And then everything broke.
Yeah, but it's unbelievable what is it? Rains pours
when it rains.
Like
this is worse than that.
Yeah, dog. This is like a
this
damn
is
monsoon,
biblical
hurricane,
flooding,
all that. But then I saw yesterday they were talking about raising the ticket prices. Like, damn, lady, what is?
Like, it's like, just have a
like.
Have
is
a sense.
She trying to get this team out of Dallas?
Just and that's one of the like conspiracy theories.
She's a casino owner.
Yeah, that's one of the conspiracy theories. Is that like they haven't been? They're not whatever. Like the state isn't working with them to get a casino in the arena,
mm-hmm.
so they're trying to move it to a place that'll allow them to do
and
that.
Like she's big in Vegas,
I guess.
Yeah.
Like I guess that could be it. And if that's really what's happening,
it's
then
a damn shame.
It's a damn shame. Yeah, like again, it's, you know, it's just further proof. And this we know this, but you kind of check it at the door a lot as a sports fan. Just further proof that we just have zero impact and control over what happens with these teams.
Yeah.
You know, root for them, spend your money, spend your time and energy and all that kind of stuff. But like the more of a I don't know, like a healthy realization that it's just a pastime and I don't know.
Like, I love that word you use, realization.
Try to keep it real because if they want to, they could just trade your favorite guy and then try to move cities, which happened to me and it can happen to you too.
Exactly.
So anyway, yeah, man, it also just kind of reinforces if you're ever feeling real bad about your favorite team, there's probably a team who's doing a little bit worse.
Yes.
And as it stands right now,
there's nobody.
There ain't anybody doing worse than the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes. It's it's bad.
Hawks won last night.
I mean, what a great,
it's a hell of a damn win.
What a performance, man. I mean, obviously at the walk off type win like that, it was unbelievable. Karis LeVert. But I think I want to ask you this because I thought about this morning. Dyson Daniels. I mean, we talked about him not knowing for Australia coming in part of the trade with DeJounte. His mindset and everything like that, as far as defensive and all that other things like that. I thought about this morning. If we're talking about getting another player here, talking about not a max player, but a max level contract type player, and you're talking about maybe trading for him, you sure this team ain't going to ask for him?
I'm sure someone would.
Yeah. That's what I'm like. Dyson Daniels, I mean, one thing, he's a dog.
That's a huge no.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, with teams now, is he like.
Cause unless you're getting like. You know.
Yeah, exactly. But he's still a really young player and everything like that, contract control, whatever, whatever. But if a team comes in and offers you, or you make an offer for a player of that elk, whatever you want to call, and they say, well, blah, 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 this pick and Dyson Daniels.
Yeah, it would have to be a really great player,
right?
I mean, in order, because, you know, as much as you, I still have a hard time, I'm behind it now, like, to hell with it. Dyson Daniels for Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
To hell with it. Like, that'd be incredible. Why not? He's one of, if not the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. I still think it's going to be hard to win it on a team like this.
Right.
Like, you kind of have to, you know, be having some results, I think, a little bit as well. And I think there's guys that are in the mix that are on better teams that are probably going to get the benefit of it. We see it every year at the All-Star break. Like, if Trey can't make an All-Star team, that's not just because of Trey. Like, that's partially because of the perception of the Hawks around the league. And it's not even perception. Like, the fact that the Hawks just win less games every year than they do the year before last 4 years. Like, that's not perception or a narrative. That's a true fact.
Right.
But anyway, like, him doing what he's done this year is unbelievable. I'm all for him and the campaign for him winning Defensive Player of the Year. Like, he's so by far and away the best at a couple things, but like one statistical point of being a defensive player, steals. He's got over three steals a game. Nobody else has even two.
Right.
It's insane what he's doing. And he wins the game last night by picking Desmond Bane's pocket and then finding Caris LeVert on that breakout. But like, Desmond Bane was killing last night.
He was working.
So for him to make that play right there and help the Hawks win the game, Caris LeVert went off in the fourth quarter and kept the Hawks in the game. Like, I kept looking up. I was watching, you know, kind of back and forth. It just felt like the Grizzlies were going to pull away at one point, and then they never did. It was because Caris LeVert was out there just draining threes in the fourth quarter, which was fun to see. But, yeah, somebody might ask that.
Yeah, I was just saying, because, I mean,
but you can't do it.
You can't. No, obviously, it depends on who the player is.
Right.
You know that.
Right. But, would have to be.
Yeah, but I think
a great player.
But I think that was something we mentioned last week with this team as far as going forward. I think he's a big part of what you want to do. You know, and I don't know what his contract situation is.
So here's what his contract situation is. Okay. He's in his third year, so he's got club options this year and next year. Mm-hmm. Well, next year, mm-hmm. And then he's a restricted free agent the year after that. I mean, they're going to exercise it, obviously. Mm-hmm. They could also give him a new contract.
Right. Okay, that was my thing. It's like, I mean, you always want to lock up your young players, your young core. I view him as part of that young core.
He is unquestionably part of the young core.
Yes, exactly. And so
he may be more part of the young core than anyone other than Jalen Johnson.
Even more to Ricochet?
You know, rookie and all that.
How about that young dude last
great
night?
Great game.
How about that young guy last night? And so when you look at this team going forward, you know, obviously Trey is a star of the team, but yet you got these young, I don't want to say ascending, you got these young potential players that can make some noise and get you where you want to go. And it's always one of those things where you always want to sign your guys back. And so that's how I view Dyson. But, I mean, last night, I mean, he was just, you know, but all year he's been like this. You know, he came in with that mindset coming in. Now he gets worked, obviously.
Everybody does.
Everybody does.
Every perimeter defender has nights where you just try to guard Cade Cunningham.
And he's going to give you the business. He's going to give you the work. But then you look at this kid, Ricochet, and if he continues to just stay aggressive the way he is, keep shooting when you're hot, young fella.
Keep shooting when
you're hot, young fella.
13's not enough when you make 11 of them.
Like, shoot more.
And I know 27's great. He led all scorers. He was amazing.
He had 40.
I know. Like, is somebody just feed him the basketball. When he's 11 for 13, let's go 11 for 20.
And Coach,
let him miss seven in a row.
And how about this, Coach Quinn? Tell them.
Yeah, get him the basketball.
Give him the basketball.
And I know he thrives on playing in the flow of the offense and all that kind of stuff.
Go be the flow.
He doesn't seem to have that yet.
Go be the flow.
And I would love to see it. I would love to see it. But, I mean, led all scorers last night, 27 points, 5 of 7 from downtown. The Hawks go into Memphis. Now, no Jaw. Mm. And Jaren Jackson got hurt in the second minute of the game. So that helps. But so what?
That's the them problem.
It was a tough schedule, so you're going to have to get some, you know, some breaks or some bounces or whatever you want to call it. And you certainly got that last night with two of their best three guys not being available for the majority of the game. And at least took advantage of it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it took every single second to do it.
But you did.
But you did it.
Yeah.
So credit to you for doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't apologize for winning around here. You know, people going out, that's a them problem. And I don't know if Jaren Jackson, did they say what was wrong? Because it looked rad.
Yeah, it didn't look so. Yeah, I didn't really. They didn't say the extent of it. But then when I saw this morning, they were kind of teasing injuries and that. I didn't realize that Kyrie had gotten banged up last night until I was watching some stuff this morning. And I was like, oh, the Jaren Jackson thing was worse than – but they were talking about Kyrie.
Right.
So I don't know what the extent of the Jaren Jackson injury is. Jaw's just kind of still dealing with a shoulder thing.
Yes.
It didn't affect his dad was still front row having cocktails,
man.
A good time.
He's
not on the injury report.
T going to get it in. T going to be sitting courtside with dark-ass blue blockers on.
I love it.
Chilling, nothing about like a daddy's love and everything. But yeah, I mean, and that's what we've been saying. Is Ja gonna play? Because I know he's been in and out of the lineup.
I was hopeful that he would because it's been a couple days
and everything like that. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Again, that's a them problem. The Hawks were able to go in there and win a tough basketball game in a tough place to win. Memphis is hard. I mean, they play really well there, and obviously they're going downward. A lot of it has to deal with Ja being in and out of the lineup, obviously. But yeah, for them to go and get a win, we were talking as far as this stretch of games. On Monday, yesterday, matter of fact, you got this one. You got Milwaukee, Indiana twice in the next four games. Can you find a way to get a split? It'd be great, but you got the one.
Yeah, you got the one.
You got to get the one first before you can get the splits and all those different things.
Well, you know, Thursday is going to be a little extra juice.
Yeah, because we're going to be in the house.
Yeah, it's 92.9 the game night.
We're going to be
in the house. So, we'll be in the sixth man section, you and me.
Yeah, we're going to be up in that thing.
I think they're undefeated on 92.9 the game night historically.
I think you're right, Andy.
I have no idea.
I think you're right.
Okay,
though.
Sure.
Yeah, I think you're
we'll
right.
just go with
I
it.
Think, I think
Pretty sure
right.
they're undefeated on 92.9 the game night. I do remember a couple years ago, John Collins had like 23 points in the first quarter.
Yes.
What the hell's this?
And then what do you end up with?
We get 25 for the game. 25 points for the game. The first quarter is just making all those little free throw line jumpers,
yes.
you know?
Then,
whatever. He cooled off a little bit.
Yeah.
He cocked the thing, kick-started, and then he cooled off a little bit. But back to the Dyson Daniels thing, I'm all for it. He's got just as good of a argument, I would say, to win Defensive Player of the Year.
He's on first team all defense. You know that.
No
doubt. No question.
Without question,
no
he'll
question
be first team
that.
All defense. He's validated all of the, rumors or scouting, people that kind of, the basketball sickos that knew Dyson Daniels when he got here.
Right.
They're like, just wait, watch what he can do on defense. And it was like, how would you know? You've never seen him play. And then you saw a little bit of it in the Olympics, and it was like, oh, yeah, no, he can.
He can play.
He's a really good defender.
He is definitely
good defender.
He's a dog, man. He gets after it.
But he is, you're talking about the core. To me, the core is four guys, and if one of those guys is less part of it, which one would you say of these four? You got Reese Hoshea, who's the number one pick last year, obviously, so he's locked up for a long time.
Yes.
Dyson Daniels, who's really, really young, and then you have Jalen Johnson, who you just paid, and then, of course, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the four guys right now that this thing is built around.
Yes.
Also think, what is this thing? You know what I mean? You can, to me, talk me into moving really anybody because of what this thing is. But of those four guys, which one of those guys do you feel like is the most movable if they were thinking of moving someone? Because I think it's Trey.
You think that...
I think they'd be more willing.
I think maybe more willing because...
Especially when he makes third-team All-NBA this year.
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking you say more willing because of the fact is that he'll be eligible for that thing.
Yes.
And so, and another thing we mentioned a couple weeks ago was that simple fact of that right there. I mean... And we mentioned it, the whole thing with the whole Luka trade and everything. You might see a lot more of that.
It might be.
You might see a lot more of that than teams wanting to give up that.
You never know.
You never know.
It could very well just be one of the craziest things that's ever happened, and we're like, damn, what'd the Mavericks do? Or it might be I don't want to say a trend, but it might be something that a few more, look, we're really going to give a guy $350 million
and we have
questions about him?
And hang around playing?
Right, and this is even more, at least they went to the finals.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The questions about him were just about conditioning and all that. The questions here, obviously, would be what's your ceiling from a winning perspective?
With him as 1A, because if you're paying him that money, he's 1A.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's one. There's no A.
No B.
Yeah, he's one, and there's no two, three, or four.
Yeah, ain't no A.
You give a guy $345 million, he's the franchise.
Yes.
Period. And that's what it is.
He is the franchise.
And you think you can win a championship with him.
I agree.
And that's the question. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here on a Tuesday morning. A lot going on in the NFL as the...
The franchise tag.
Thank you. The franchise tag deadline is today at 4 o'clock. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twelve seconds to go in the game now. Bane bouncing it outside. Down to six. Bane trying to drive. And it's stolen by Dyson Daniels. Up to Caris LeVert. Caris goes in. He lays it up and in! Right at the buzzer! And the Atlanta Hawks have won! Dyson Daniels just stole it! Dyson Daniels stole it! And the Atlanta Hawks have won! The Atlanta Hawks have won this game. Right at the buzzer.
A lot of people. Oh yeah, time, it was great to hear Steve so fired up at the end of the game.
That fired him in a long time.
Dyson Daniels did a lot of clever tweets from Hawks folks afterwards. Hawks steal the win. Daniels steals the win. All that kind of stuff. Very fitting, like for what he's been for this team, and then for Caris LeVert to get the bucket as good as he was in the fourth quarter. I think he finished the game on a personal 7-0 run to win the game as they were down five with like a minute and a half left. And that's a nice win, man.
Yeah, man.
Look, I know Ja and Jaren Jackson didn't play, but to go on the road, given what the Hawks are dealing with right now, given the stretch of play that they're in the midst of right now and what's coming up the rest of this week, like, you just got to try to keep your head. I don't know if it's above water because you're five games under 500, but like, keep your head at this level so you don't fall any further, because then, you know, you want to be in the playing round and all that. So. But nice, a nice performance last night on the road by the Hawks. Love to see it. Dyson Daniels with the game-winning steal. Zachary Risacher with one of his best games, 27 points last night.
Shoot it, son.
And the losing streak is over.
Most important, the losing streak is over. Considering, you know, the stretch of games that they got coming up, they need to get that one, especially because Ja and JJ and all those guys were out of the lineup last night. And Bane, Bane was willing. You remember, I asked you about him yesterday. I was like, is he – like the max player that I know they gave him a lot of bread.
He must have hurt us.
He can play more.
Because he had a 35-point triple-double last
night.
Yeah,
he can ball, man. That dude got some game, man.
Yeah.
And so for them to go in there and get traded and have his best night, sorry, he got tech earlier.
He's nearing that 16 tech thing, too.
I would think. So, yeah, he got a tech yesterday. But I thought, you know, the supporting cast did what the supporting cast supposed to do when your superstar doesn't have it. Obviously, he assisted the ball. But I think that, you know, like you said, not underwater, but, like, we got to keep him out of the, like, because we were talking about the play-in or whatever, and they're like four games ahead of the Bulls.
Yeah.
I think the Bulls are right behind them. They're like four games ahead.
Ahead of the Bulls,
yeah.
However many games, six and a half games ahead of the Nets and the Sixers.
So, yeah, stay right there.
Those teams are sinking quickly.
Yes, exactly.
And the Bulls traded all their guys.
They did. They got rid of everybody. It's the Kevin Huerter show.
It's Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, it's Kevin Huerter
at this
show.
Point.
It's Kevin Huerter show.
Can you outrun Kevin Huerter?
Yes, it's the Kevin Huerter show out there in Chi-Town.
And, like, man, even if you don't, then you're still 10th. Like, you're not falling out of that.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Unless, I don't even know what would have to happen.
Let's not even
the Brooklyn
wonder.
Nets are 18 games under 500.
Yes.
And they're in 11.
Yes.
So, like,
there's a team worse than them. Who is it?
There's many teams worse than them.
Who's the worst in the East right now?
Is it Washington,
right?
Wizards.
It's Washington, right? They were 32 out?
I don't know. They're 39 games out.
38 games out.
Of first place.
There's still hope.
Yeah, there's still no, like, X next to their name. They're not... Like, they're not mathematically eliminated yet.
God damn.
You know what? Don't underestimate Sarr. Sarr might get it going.
Has he done anything
down the
this
stretch?
Year?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was curious.
None of them have. No offense. Like, Reese Shea had a nice game last night, but like, I saw some of the stats. They were kind of pumping up his February, or like since February 1st or something like that. He's averaging like 13.5.
Oh my.
Okay.
God.
Better than it was.
Yeah.
Better than it was. But like, still, you know.
Why did I think he was doing more?
Who, Reese Shea?
Yeah. I think he was doing more than 13 for a month.
Because we're here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I was curious.
It's kind of up and down.
Yeah,
you know,
but I,
when he has the good games, they tend to be good. They're like 20s and all that. But then when he has the quiet ones, they're real quiet.
Like four.
They're whispery. Real quiet.
All right. But hey, the win's a win. Don't apologize who was in there and everything. And now you get to tackle another top
Giannis. Giannis and Dame.
Yeah, you get to tackle another big.
Kyle Kuzma.
Oh, damn, he is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay, so that means they're trying to still figure their stuff out there also.
Kills the Hawks.
Who?
Kuzma.
Yeah, but I mean,
kills
him. But he was in Washington.
Which makes it worse.
No, he's in Washington. You know, he had,
like somebody had to score kind of thing?
Yeah, somebody had to score.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was him. He don't when he has to score because they need his point production.
Look, every team in the NBA scores 115 points.
Yeah, so whenever you hold the team to 103, you're a damn good defensive team.
I guess. Depends on the night. I'm just saying, every team's going to score 115 points. So even the Wizards are getting 20 points a night from somebody. Somebody's going out there and scoring.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Jordan Poole up there ain't got no filter.
Jordan Poole has the best job outside of, like, the real jobs in the NBA. He's got the best fake job in the NBA right now. Because the man makes $20+ million a year.
Mm-hmm.
He can shoot it as much as he wants.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have to care. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't have to defend anybody. Like, I would, like, as much... Obviously, if you could pick your job in the NBA, you'd want to be a superstar on a good team.
Yeah.
You want to be Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, like one of those guys. Steph, whatever. But the second best job in the NBA would be best player on a tanking team. Like, big money contract guy on a tanking team.
Yeah, because,
it would be incredible.
Especially because
you do whatever you want.
Because, and especially because everybody doesn't view you like, because you're tanking. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So you don't get any responsibility from losing.
No one gets mad.
Yeah.
No one cares,
nobody
really.
Nobody gives a damn.
You still, look, he gets paid more than most guys in the league.
Yes.
Like, doesn't matter if they win or lose.
Yeah.
He can score 35 points tonight. No one would notice.
And care.
He could go 0 of 26. No one would notice.
Or care.
It'd be kind of, you know, like, that's not what you want.
No.
That's not what you strive for.
No.
But it wouldn't be bad.
Yeah,
that's
what
I'm saying.
That's got to be miserable.
I think he's perfectly happy.
He's got a different personality to certain people.
Yeah,
he's up there chilling, man.
I think he's...
He is up there chilling.
As happy
running
as a clam.
Running Chocolate City.
He's got a championship ring. He doesn't have to fight Draymond in practice anymore.
No, not that wasn't no fight.
He doesn't have to get punched by Draymond in practice anymore.
That wasn't no fight.
He just... Whatever, man. Like, I'm with you. Of course, you'd rather be a winning star.
Yeah.
But not everybody can be.
That is true.
Jordan Poole's not bad work if you can get it.
That's true.
All right. Let's hear Todd McShay. We were doing this a little bit yesterday, not really knowing the full, and we still don't know the full scope of the story, but some of the rumors about what went on with Shedeur Sanders in Indy and maybe why he's dropping on draft boards are coming out a little bit. Here's Todd McShay.
The two people that I spoke to were in meetings and had these individual meetings that I just laid out to you, what they are, who's in there, and why they're important. Teams in the top 10 drafting that need a quarterback. The two people that I spoke to in these positions left the meeting feeling like Shedeur Sanders was not overly concerned with what they thought of him. They had a 15-minute meeting with him, and when they were done, they both said in different ways, different words, that they did not feel like Shedeur Sanders cared all that much about what that organization thought of him.
And I saw that this morning, with that clip we just played. I was sitting there like, I'm trying to figure out, did he, like... Meaning care about you. Like, what? What does that mean? Like,
you can kind of tell.
Yeah, but still,
right?
I'm like.
You interview enough of these guys, you can kind of tell.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think I've ever interviewed was a nanny. You know? I mean, I don't.
No, but you've also interviewed with teams.
Yeah,
right?
I interviewed with teams, but it said cared about him. So was he in there, like, just bull jiving around?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, if that's the case, then that's not professional at all.
It's not great.
You know, that's not great.
Now,
I'm not saying I believe that right there, but if that's what people are saying, that's not good.
Yeah, that's some of the talk coming out of the combine was if he doesn't view you as a quarterback needy team or a team that he wants to play for, then you might have got two word answers.
I understand that part. If you want to, obviously you want to go where you want to go and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's just a ragged ass approach if this is true what they're saying about him. Because, I mean, you know, you start to get ready for the draft and read up on these prospects and seeing different things. And you're like, this dude's dropping. I'm like, dropping where? They're talking about dropping like far in the first round. I'm like, there's no way he's going to drop
no,
like that.
No, I don't think so either.
There's no way he's going to drop like that.
The folks must have talked to those people.
Yeah.
Like, you must have talked to the general manager or the scouts or whatever that interviewed him and had a bad interview.
Yeah.
Now, that also sounds a little bit like, well, get over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we weren't interested in talking to us. Well, all right, well, so what? Then so don't what? Draft him.
Don't draft him.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's not a good player.
No,
don't draft
doesn't.
Him then.
It doesn't mean that.
But Amen. Then there's other teams that he probably gave great interviews with because he wants to go play for him. Now, again, I'm with you. Like, I think that that's kind of a, you know, probably not the best and most professional approach.
Right.
But I also, like, I've been pretty consistent about this over the years. I understand what the draft is. You get drafted, you go play. There's been instances of guys that didn't want to go play for the teams that they got drafted by, and very rarely have they been able to control that. Mm-hmm. But if that's how you feel,
and if you can, and if you feel like you're controlling,
then
it,
be my guest.
But the thing about it is, we talked a while back talking about players who didn't want to go plays. Like, you knew for a damn fact Eli did not want to go to San Diego.
That's right.
There are plenty of players. They might not take the approach that he goes to, but and you're always happy. I don't ever want to take away the joy of being drafted by and getting the opportunity to play in the NFL. But there's a lot of times dudes like, damn.
Sure.
There is. Sure. Especially when you're that good or you're in that top 10 type area and there's a place you want to go and this team that you didn't want to go to, you're like, damn. It happens. It does.
Of course.
It does. But you just go ahead, you put your big boy pants on, you go about your business.
Most people do.
Yeah, you put your big boy pants on. You go
Unless you're Eli or, I guess, John Elway.
You go do your damn job.
Who are the others? Is there any others? We're kind of due for one.
There's another. I think we are.
About every 20 years.
But there's not one that has been as visible as those two. Like, damn.
Those guys just flat out said, I'm not playing.
I'm not playing. Like, John Elway's going to play baseball.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we saw the whole Eli thing, but everybody knew that Eli thing was going to work out the way it did. We all knew that when the draft was going around. So, Eli's not coming here no matter what, but we're still going to draft you.
Yeah.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to flip you and get some more stuff.
Well, and the good thing was it worked out for both parties.
It did.
Like, the Chargers got best quarterback in the history of their franchise. The Giants got two Super Bowls.
You know, people still debate that out there?
What?
Philip.
As what?
As far as is
like better than Fouts, maybe
a lot of people still do that.
Oh, Fouts was good.
He's great.
Yeah,
he's great. Yeah, a lot of people out there did that.
Stan Humphries?
Hell no.
Went to the Super Bowl.
He did. So, he did.
This was maybe a Junior Seau influence on that one. May have had something to do with it.
That had him and Natron Means.
Natron Means Business might have had something to do with it. Who was the D lineman on that team? Leslie O'Neal.
Leslie O'Neal.
Was that his name?
Yeah. Leslie had that red visor.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was so good. Super Bowl didn't go good, but that was a really good team. All right, we'll come back. Mike Conte is going to join us. We'll talk about Atlanta United's performance against Charlotte over the weekend, get some Hawks thoughts as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Terminated.
All right, 20 minutes away from getting back into the NFL. NFL No Huddle, top of the noon hour. It is franchise tag deadline day today at 4 o'clock. A lot of rumors about who isn't going to get franchised. One quarterback specifically, so we'll get to that. This hour brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast at padlybuys.com. But 11:40 on Tuesdays means Mike Conte joins the show, talking Hawks, talking Atlanta United. Mike, how are you?
Hey, guys. Jeez. You'd think I would learn after 12 years.
It's not like you run the radio station or anything.
Let's try that again. Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Awesome finish to the game last night.
How about that,
yeah,
huh?
So much fun. Definitely, like, needed. Felt like a little injection of life into a moment.
I do think it's really important. You know, it's a good win. It's a great finish. The Grizzlies were without Ja.
Yeah,
they were without Jaren Jackson for all but 2 minutes. They were without Santi Aldama. The Hawks should have won that game probably a lot more easily than they did win it. Now, it is on the road, but hey, you won. Style points don't matter. Margin of victory doesn't matter. It was a great finish. Great play by Dyson Daniels. Caris LeVert was huge in the fourth quarter. It kind of reminded me. They played a game at Houston. Actually, ironically, it was the week the Falcons were in the Super Bowl. They played a game at Houston, and Tim Hardaway Jr. went nuclear in the fourth quarter. And they came back from, I think, 24 down in that one. They were 13 down in the fourth quarter last night. So that's a big win. They need it because I think that 8 seed and maybe even the 7 seed are still very, very much in play. 6 seed is not. They're not going to fall out of the top 10.
No.
Right.
But where you are right now with 21 games to go, basically one quarter of the season, the best you can probably get is to go into that 7-8 game. So you got to do everything you possibly can to get there. Getting a win last night, going into now a homestand where there's some easy games but some very difficult games as well, gives them a good kind of springboard to do that.
I got a question, Mike, because we talked about the as far as their pick not belonging to them and everything like that. As long as they're in the top 10, they're out of lottery, right?
Who, the Hawks?
Yeah.
The Hawks, I don't think, control their first round. I don't understand.
I know they don't. They don't control it.
Brady just doesn't want the Spurs to get the number one pick.
I don't want the Spurs to get the number one pick, Mike.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't want the Spurs to get the number one pick, Mike.
They have to make the playoffs.
They have to make the top 10
eight.
In order to.
Top 8.
Top 8.
You got to win in.
You got to win to get in. That's what I'm asking.
I see. Okay. Yes. So the pick that the Hawks gave to the Spurs.
Yes.
Yes. How does that work? No, I think you have to make the playoffs to be assured.
Right.
That
you have to win in the play-in to get into the top eight. Because remember, last year was the first year they didn't make the actual playoffs.
Yeah.
They were in the play-in and lost.
Yeah.
So they got ping pong balls and then got, you know, very fortunate.
They got to get the top eight in order for the Spurs not to get. Because the Spurs are going to get.
They need to make it out of the play-in round.
Right. Okay.
I am sorry. Boy, that was.
Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking. Because I don't.
You know what?
You know me. I don't believe in conspiracy, but if for some reason.
I believe in bad luck. Why does the league benefit by helping San Antonio?
I don't know,
you
Mike.
Know, they're not a big market. They already have Wemby. Like, they're good.
And De'Aaron Fox.
And De'Aaron Fox.
Flag in there.
I like a couple of other pieces they have there. Like, they're fine. I don't think the league needs to, you know, be freezing any envelopes for the San Antonio Spurs. Now, Philadelphia, you know, some of the other big market teams that might be in the draft lottery. Let's just not think about that, right? Like, we don't need to think about that.
We don't want them to have any benefit. Now, they suck, so, I mean, they're going to be in the lottery.
Yeah.
The 76ers are awful. Yeah. I don't know if the league wants to throw them a bone for how bad the process went, but I'm not as worried about the league conspiracy as I am just the grand universal conspiracy against Atlanta sports franchises and the Hawks specifically, where it would just be so fitting if they won the lottery last year in the draft that everyone talked about being kind of what it was. Now, Risa has been good, and he's been playing better, so we'll see how that develops.
Ball, son.
But then you win it again in a draft that's thought of as one of the best drafts, and then you don't have the pick. Yeah, that would just be cruel.
But I think...
be cruel.
I still think, and you saw it last night, I'm really bullish on Risa Shea. I told you last Friday.
Played good.
And I thought he played great last night. Yeah, that's the thing. And Tribble was talking about this a little bit this morning. I agree with him. You got a young team that's fighting. You got a coach who I think is getting just about as much as he can possibly get out of this group. Man, if you can find the right veteran to add to this group this summer, you might really have something. I mean, world championship contending, maybe not, but very, very solid playoff team that could maybe make a run here and there. Yes, I think you're seeing this year that it's there. It's in place. You wonder, again, if Jalen Johnson doesn't get hurt, would that be enough of a difference maker where the Hawks would be in a conversation for being out of the play-in? Because Detroit's done a great job this year. No disrespect to them. Milwaukee and Indiana, they've done a great job. But I really, really think the Hawks with a healthy Jalen Johnson and then the group that they assembled at the trade deadline in place of DeAndre Hunter, I really think that group's probably a play-off team, not a play-in team. You just wonder because, you know, you've gone from starting Jalen Johnson, who was looking like a, you know, potential 20-10 player this year, to starting Mo Gay and then trying to make do with what you have off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, big, big drop.
Last night was Dominic Barlow.
Yeah. Well, in the first half, they didn't even start him in the second half.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yep.
Mike, going back to what you were saying as adding a veteran or something like that to this summer and everything, and maybe you have to make some decisions about somebody on your roster. Do you think it'd be a situation like we were just talking about it before we got you on, as far as Dyson Daniels, the contract situation, how he's been playing, how he's been showing himself as he has gotten a bigger role this season? Would he be one of those things where teams might, okay, we want him too?
Yeah, what is his status, by the way? Is he an unrestricted free agent or a restricted free agent?
So this year, he had a club option, and then next year has a club option, which they've already picked. They already did.
So you don't have to worry about Tyson Daniels this offseason.
Right. Now, they can extend him.
Sure.
He's eligible for an extension.
I don't know if you necessarily have to make that decision.
You don't have to.
You could.
Yeah. Right.
You could.
It's $7 million next year if you don't, which is a hell of a bargain.
That's a bargain right now. I mean, Dyson's playing like a $20 million a year player. If his offense starts to really, really meet the level of his defense, you're talking about probably a $25 million player potentially, but give that time.
Right.
Let's see if that gets there. Honestly, the player you're going to have to make a decision on, and the player who I think has shown you he wants to be here, he's been great since he's gotten here, he won you the game last night, he's been solid when you've called upon him, he's been a great NBA player when healthy, he hasn't always been healthy, but when healthy, I think he's very effective, is Caris LeVert. That's one of the decisions you're going to have to make this offseason, because I believe his contract is expiring.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen, I want that guy
back. He's playing for it. He's showing.
He knows he's in the contract.
Looks like he wants to be here. And I've detected that since he first got to Atlanta. His body language has been really, really positive.
Yeah.
Like, I remember covering a trade. It was that who was the trade where Chris Paul got traded to the Clippers? They voided the trade to the Lakers and they traded to the Clippers.
From New Orleans.
Yeah. And I remember they brought in the Clippers players who ended up in New Orleans, and they all looked like they were in a hostage video. Like, they looked miserable. They didn't want to be there. Caris LeVert, since day one coming to Atlanta, has been happy and, from what you can just see from a body language standpoint, when he's on the bench, when he's interacting with his teammates, he looks like he's really happy to be here. He's been a great player here. If we're making decisions, and some of the things that Landry Fields is going to have to think about this offseason, he's probably thinking about this right now. And just based on, and this could be prisoner of the moment thinking because it's only been a couple weeks, I really hope they find a way to keep him because I think he's been outstanding.
Just a fun list of guys since I looked it up, those guys that looked like hostages. Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
He looked still plays in the NBA, I think.
He looked
somehow
like a chipmunk that was...
He always looks like that. He did. Chris Kaman, who was a sad caveman.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then Al Farouk Aminu, who's from Atlanta, Norcross High School.
Yeah.
So there you go. Didn't know those guys were going to come up today, but they did.
Yeah. Eric Gordon's still playing.
Yes,
still
he
in
is
the league.
With who?
Houston. Isn't it?
Who knows?
I think it was in Houston. Last
somebody
time
signed
he was
him.
Last time I remember, he was in Houston.
We can start playing who he play for.
Yeah,
I know Eric Gordon is in the league and actually playing minutes. Like he's
Sixers. Terrible Philadelphia 76ers.
That's why.
That's right. He was one of their many offseason signings that when the people talked about it, I was like, what are you guys talking about?
Right.
All they do is sign old guys that get hurt. Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. They might be a threat in the East. No, they're not. They're not a threat in the East. Joel Embiid's knees are going to fall off, and they signed Paul George, who's 100. Like, what are we talking about?
And also frequently hurt.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, take us through Saturday, because it was Saturday afternoon, because, like, you're sitting there, and I'm on the edge of the seat because they're in the box, and they're just wailing, talking about Atlanta. They have opportunities and all those different things. Obviously, the mistakes killed them, but what was going on? Is it injuries? Is it what is it about?
Well, they had that stretch at the end of the first half where they were really putting everything on target, making Kalina, the Charlotte goalkeeper, really work. In hindsight, they really needed to score in that sequence.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, and then Charlotte got a goal against the run of play early in the second half, and then the game state completely changed, and Atlanta was out of it. If Atlanta had scored in that sequence where they really had Charlotte under pressure, could have been a different story on Saturday. Give Charlotte a lot of credit. Give them a ton of credit. I think you have to respect how Latte Lott was not located in this attack for most of the game.
Yep.
Saba was not located for most of the game. I thought they did a really good job of nullifying Moranchuk. Atlanta United playing without their top three fullbacks, that's part of it. Last minute change to the midfield they weren't expecting, with Click getting sick and then having to put Jay Fortune in there, not expected, that's part of it. You look at the rosters, though, Atlanta, they should have done better, in my opinion. And it's concerning for me only because the problem for this club over the last 6 years, they don't win road games. They just do not win road games. They've won 15 road games in the last 5+ years.
That's
They play 17 road
games
insane.
In a season. That's insane.
They've only won 15
I heard
road
you
games.
Say that on the radio on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was aghast.
Since the start of 2020.
Yeah,
now,
that's insane.
At the end of last season, they started winning some road games.
Right.
They won in Orlando on Decision Day.
Miami.
They won the decisive game three in Miami. You want to call the Montreal playoff game a win, even though it was really in penalties, which is supposed to be a draw, but you could call that a win. They did have that brief little burst where they were finding ways to win on the road. But you can have a good season when you play at a one-point-per-game pace on the road, which is basically drawing every road game. You lose a few, you win a few to make up for it, but you're earning 1 point per game. You can have a good season doing that.
Right.
You're not going to win the Supporter Shield doing that. You're not going to be a contender to win a championship doing that. So I just hope when this team goes back on the road in a couple weeks, and it's going to be weird because their next road game is during an international break in Cincinnati and both teams will have players out. I just want to see this team play better on the road. They did not play well in the second half.
Is there a you know how in college football or in the NFL too, they'll talk about the thing that travels is good defense, right? Like maybe you might not have, like, you know, your offense might not do it on the road, whatever, but like good defense is travel, doesn't matter the environment. Is there something like that in the NFL? Because it feels to me like the strength of this team eventually is going to be those four guys up front. You saw a taste of it in the first game.
Yeah.
I know it was a clean sheet on Saturday. I don't think there will be very, very many of those throughout the season when those four guys play, but it happened on Saturday. Like, what's the thing that's going to be their strength that's going to travel if that does exist in MLS?
Well, honestly, I think their midfield is so much better this year. Mateus Klick, who is basically a fourth designated player because he was a designated player with DC last year, he is a huge difference maker in that midfield. Him going out, I thought, was the biggest problem for Atlanta United on Saturday. It wasn't necessarily being without Hernandez and Amador and Lennon. I thought losing Klick, like when I heard that, I thought, uh-oh, okay, this is going to be a problem because he's really, really important progressing the ball from box to box. And he would have been that locator. He would have been the guy who would have gotten Saba going a little bit better, probably would have gotten Almiron going a little bit better. Hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. I thought Jay Fortune did as much as he could in a weird situation. But again, like you had Wilfred Zaha, a Premier League player, dribbling on Matt Edwards, who was making his second MLS start. And Edwards actually did a very good job for all but maybe one play. Unfortunately, it turned into a goal. I thought he did a really good job. But that's not a matchup that's going to favor Atlanta United. You know, you're playing a 17-year-old at fullback for part of that game at the end, and Dominic Chanqui. Like you got to get your fullbacks back. The fact that the injuries have all come at one position, it's just another kind of weird bad luck thing that seems to be happening a lot to Atlanta United. Just I don't get it. So we'll see what happens against Red Bulls. Really tough game coming up on Saturday.
Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate right, Mike.
As always. All right, we'll get a break here. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll come back. We'll get into an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.